The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, I'm Dr. Will Cole, leading functional medicine expert and best-selling author. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is The Art of Being Well. What's up? It's Dr. Will Cole. And welcome to The Art of Being Well. I am a functional medicine practitioner. My day job, if you will, is I consult people around the world via webcam. I started one of the first functional medicine telehealth centers in the world over a decade ago at this point. So from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., sun up to sundown, I get to talk to people around the world, just like you, about their health issues. My heart and my passion specifically are people with different autoimmune issues or inflammatory problems, and that can manifest in different ways for different people, but people struggling with different autoimmune hormonal problems or non-autoimmune inflammatory hormonal problems, people with digestive issues, brain health issues like anxiety, depression, fatigue, and typically it's a confluence of those issues. But giving them tools and giving them answers as to why they feel the way that they do, and giving them agency over their health. It is a sacred journey. It's not a quick fix for sure. These are people that are dealing with problems for a long time, but it is a journey that is priceless. It's a journey that every day, my team and I get so excited to be a part of these people's journey. Anyways, from my clinical practice, I've talked about these issues in different books. I wrote Ketotarian, which is my first book. It's a mostly plant-based ketogenic way of eating. Second book is The Inflammation Spectrum, which is really a deep dive in inflammation and the different pathways there and how inflammation exists on a spectrum and looking at food and its interaction with our immune system and how every food we eat either feeds inflammation or fights it. And my newest book is called Intuitive Fasting. And if you've noticed, I like paradoxical concepts, you know, plant-based and keto and even functional medicine. It's the best of alternative medicine, the best of evidence-based conventional medicine, an amalgamation of that. And same with intuitive fasting. How could fasting ever be intuitive, right? But it's a book that's out of my three books. At this point, it's my favorite book. I have worked tirelessly over this book. And as with all the books that I've written, it is a ripple effect from my clinical practice and seeing how to use flexible intermittent fasting to gain body peace, to gain food peace, and a deep discernment on knowing what your body loves and what your body hates, and having that grace and lightness when it comes to all things wellness, and using food and fasting as a meditation. So that's intuitive fasting. We have a lot of pre-order swag going on right now. For anybody that pre-orders intuitive fasting, we have a shopping guide download that's based on the meal plan in the book. And we also are giving access to a private online fasting group with yours truly and many, many others that are part of the intuitive fasting community. And there'll be live Q&A sessions with me online. And we also, right now, we are giving away a sneak peek of a chapter of intuitive fasting when you pre-order. You can get all that information about intuitive fasting, the other books, as well as my clinical practice. We offer a free webcam or phone health evaluation. If you want a functional medicine perspective on your case and learn more about our telehealth center. Anyways, all that information is at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. Let's get to today's guest. This guy, man, I hope we all have someone like this. I hope you all have someone like this in your life. You know, when you're going through a stressful week and you need just someone to listen, or you need someone to speak life into your situation, you need someone to give you wisdom in a loving way, in a kind way. This guy is that for me. His name is Dr. Josh Axe. He is the founder of the world's number one most visited natural health website, draxe.com. What the heck? That's a great site. He is also the best-selling author of Eat Dirt and Keto Diet, and he is the co-founder of Ancient Nutrition Supplement Company. Dr. Axe appears regularly on the Dr. Oz Show and has written for Shape, Pop Sugar, HuffPost, Men's Health, Forbes, Business Insider, and Well and Good. Today's conversation, man, we cover so much stuff. We talk about Josh's inspiration behind his newest book, including his family's personal health crisis. You have to hear this story. It is a beautiful story that changed his life and his mom's life and so many others. We also talk about the relationship between your thyroid and your gut and how the ancient remedies he discusses in his new book helps with both gut health and thyroid health, and specific herbs and specific nutritional changes you want to consider. So don't miss that. We also talk about the fascinating world of traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM. My goodness, I learned so much. I'm coming from a functional medicine standpoint. Dr. Josh Axe is a wealth of information when it comes to traditional Chinese medicine. And we talk about specific remedies, these ancient remedies that have a place in modern life. And we also talk about what balancing qi means. We talk about different body temperatures and what that means. We talk about the connection between our emotions and our health. And that is fascinating. And we also talk about the root causes of different diseases and a traditional Chinese medicine approach to these different health problems. We talk about endometriosis, different autoimmune hormonal problems, so much more. So let's get right to it. Here's my conversation with Dr. Josh Axe. All right, my friend, I am so excited that you're with me here and talking today.
Well, Dr. Will, it's good to connect again. I know I had you on my podcast recently, and everybody, of course, you know, loves any time you're on. I've had you on multiple times, and man, it's good to be on your show.
Excited. Yeah, thank you so much. So you have this book coming out really soon when people hear this. It is called Ancient Remedies. And the subtitle, I think, is powerful. It's Secrets to Healing with Herbs, Essential Oils, CBD, and the Most Powerful Natural Medicine in History. And I know this is, in many ways, like a magnum opus for you, a passion project that you've been working on for a long time. But how did the book come to be? What was the ethos behind the book?
Yeah, so for me, you know, this book actually was born out of a health crisis in my family. My mom, many years ago, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And this was really shocking to my family at the time, because my mom looked really healthy, right? Like growing up though, like we didn't know about nutrition. We were into fitness, but knew nothing about really health. And so my mom got a diagnosis of cancer at 40 years old. And she went through all the traditional medical treatments. She went and had a mastectomy. She went through rounds and rounds and rounds of chemotherapy. And I remember how sick she got and thinking she had aged 20 years in 2 weeks. I remember her hair falling out. And just saying as a kid, man, I never want to see anyone have to go through that again. And also thinking there's got to be a better way. And so my mom was diagnosed as being cancer-free and healthy, but the truth was she seemed like she had more problems than ever before. She got put on multiple medications for depression, anxiety, had chronic constipation, hypothyroidism, autoimmune disease, all these issues. And this went on for years. And then I decided I wanted to become a doctor and learn all about natural medicine, functional medicine, the stuff you do that I do. Mm-hmm. And I was a year away from graduating, and I got a call from my mom, and she said, "I've got bad news. I've just been diagnosed with cancer again. What do I do?" And I flew home back to Ohio where I grew up. We sat down, we talked about it, we prayed together. We felt really led to take care of her all naturally. So that's what we did. So she started juicing vegetables, started drinking bone broth. And then I started discovering all of these ancient remedies used in Asia and different areas of the world to help people heal. So I started reading up on mushrooms and the power, their cancer fighting properties, on reishi, on cordyceps, on turkey tail and maitake. And so I had her start taking mushrooms. I then started doing research on herbs and spices to fight cancer. I started reading about, you know, turmeric and galangal and some other really powerful herbs. So I had her start doing those. And so, and then I had her start doing some ancient treatments. I had her doing some other things that I cover in the book. And we went through this program for 4 months. She went back to her oncologist, and her oncologist, is, her exact words were this: "This is highly unusual. We don't typically see this, but your tumors have shrunk by more than half in just 4 months." She said, "I want to see you again in 9 months." She went back 9 months later, complete remission. And today my mom is in her late 60s and she water skis, she runs 5Ks. And she actually says she feels better now in her late 60s than she did in her 30s and just has incredible health. And really, I go through in the book, you know, not just that, but what were the ancient remedies that were used to heal cancer? What are the ancient remedies that are used to heal hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's thyroiditis and chronic pain and migraine headaches and leaky gut and almost every condition you can think of? I cover over 70 conditions and how to heal them, really using food as medicine and these ancient forms of medicine.
Yeah. So this is obviously very near and dear to you. And
yeah.
Do you feel like in many ways that this couldn't be a better time to release a book like this? I mean, the world's needing it probably now more than ever in our lifetime to get this information out there.
Well, yeah, and I'll give you an example. I mean, look at our healthcare system today. It's not a healthcare system. It's a acute disease care system that's used to treat a symptom. Now, again, if somebody's in a car accident and needs to repair a broken bone, we have the best system in the world. But healthcare, even world rankings, we rank in the low 40s or worse. Like, we are not very good at healthcare. So that being said, I look at things like some of the issues we're having today with fighting, you know, viral infections and an immune system. What are we doing? We're talking about giving a synthetic chemical to fix it versus we know based on studies, if you have a stronger immune system, you're going to be like you're going to fight off a cold or flu just fine. But if you have a weak immune system, if you have what's called immunodeficiency or another health condition that weakens your immune system, like diabetes or something else, your chance of being affected negatively goes way up. So what's the solution? Strengthen your immune system naturally using food as medicine. And so, like, in the book, I cover stuff like this, like, hey, what is the ancient remedy for your immune system? What's the herbs that were used in ancient China were astragalus and reishi mushroom. And then, and actually other areas of the world, they would use like echinacea and elderberry. So I go through that. And then also things that are very rich in zinc and getting sunshine, so vitamin D. But these are the ways you really fight, you know, so I have exact protocols on how you do that. But I agree with you, you know, Dr. Will, is that we're living in a society today where it's all about treat the symptom and we're not getting to the root cause of the disease. And this whole book, that's really the whole concept is. Mm-hmm. Here is actually how you go and heal the root cause of disease. And here's the thing that happens. Not only are you going to beat the cold or flu, but now your chance of getting cancer or heart disease or every other condition goes down because you have a really strong and robust immune system, a strong and robust detoxification system. Your organ systems are strong. And because of it, you're going to live longer and just be healthier.
Yeah. The introduction of the book is powerful. And I think that you really go there. You kind of are calling things out. And sometimes people are shy away from these conversations and really going there, but you show the statistics and it's plain and clear. But the title of the introduction, I think it's great. It says, "Recognizing the Flaws of Pharmaceutical-Based Healthcare and Reclaiming Our Health." Can you give people a little bit of a sneak peek of that introduction? Because I think it's a powerful beginning of the book.
Yeah, what's crazy is there are physicians that were really good people throughout history who actually said things like, we should take the entire material, like, you know, medical books and throw them at the bottom of the ocean because people would be healthier for it. Like, these are people that were part of the medical system who said that our medical system is not good. And here's some of the quotes and here's some of the stuff I go through. Today, the third leading killer in the United States is our own medical system. Close to 300,000 people per year die from medical mistakes. Here's the other mind-blowing thing. And by the way, these numbers are low. They don't count all of them. 130,000 people die of the side effects of medications, and that's the right drug diagnosed for the right condition. versus how many people are dying a year from supplements? Typically, it's zero. Zero people versus 130,000 people dying as the side effect of the drug. And so these sort of things are mind-boggling. Here's another crazy thing. I go through all the studies in the book that say there is not a single medication that doesn't pull a nutrient from your body. I have a chart in there. It's really easy to see.
The chart is powerful. Yeah.
And so here's, I'll give you an example, antibiotics. Medical studies have shown antibiotics not only killed the good, bad bacteria, they killed the good bacteria in your gut. So they completely deplete your body of good bacteria, which is a big part of your immune system, 70% of it. Here's the other thing though. It actually pulls zinc from your body. So if you pull zinc, zinc is the main mineral that's responsible for tissue regeneration. So if you take an antibiotic, your gut can't heal properly. So it's going to cause nutrient malabsorption. And also it's going to affect your skin. So you have a greater chance of acne and eczema and psoriasis. And also your body can't repair immune or inflammation issues. So now you have a greater risk of autoimmune disease. All of that from taking a prescription antibiotic, and we go into contraceptive drugs, a similar thing. You know, birth control actually depletes your body of folate, which is important for fertility and for fighting acne. We talk about anti-diabetic drugs pull something called coenzyme Q10 from your body. So if you're on a diabetic drug, it actually increases your risk of dying of a heart attack or stroke. Anyways, I could go through like 30 of them, but yeah. I go through, and that's just a chart. It's not what we talk about mostly in the book, but I just wanted to touch on in that first chapter, here's the problem with our medical system. And again, there is not even an aspirin. There is not a single drug that doesn't pull vitamins, minerals, and nutrients out of your body and cause you to have another medical condition.
Yeah. And I think if you look, like you said, you and I, people in the space of functional medicine, integrative medicine, natural medicine, we're not anti-medication. There's a time and place for medications. Right. But the way that I put it for people is, and I'm sure you feel the same way, is what is your most effective option that causes you the least amount of side effects? And if a medication fits that criteria, if there's no more effective option that's not causing that much side effects, then maybe that's the best option. And some people need to be on them. But you mentioned in the book, like that's oftentimes not the case. That's the only option that's given, even though it's not the most effective and it's causing a lot of potential side effects. You mentioned, I think, a statistic from the CDC and said the CDC says 30% of medications are unnecessary. And obviously that's a drastically conservative number. But can you talk about that and what the deal is with that?
Well, Dr. Will, I know you and I are good friends for a lot of reasons. In fact, I was talking to a mutual friend of ours before this, and I said, I'm like, I love Dr. Will. I'm like, him and I, you know, text regularly. It just, you know, it's great. I love hearing about, you know, how your family's doing. You're always checking in on me, and I love that. The other thing I love about you is what a great practitioner you are. And the reason is, and the reason why I've referred people, you know, to see you as patients too, is that you treat the root cause. And you and I really are so, because here's the deal. I take care of every patient I've had in the past and every person I care for today. I take care of them like they were my own family member. And I seriously mean that. I know when you take care of people, like if I sent my sister to see you or my wife, I would feel good about it because I know, you know what? You are a doctor that does things with excellence. You've got a loving heart. You don't do this. You're not in this profession to make money. You do it because you want to help people. Well, again, if I'm looking to help somebody, I'm not just, if I have my mom here, or my wife, Chelsea, and they have a condition, I'm not just gonna say, here's a drug, and I know this is gonna cause a side effect in you. I'm gonna say, what is the root cause of this problem? So for instance, if I had a close family member or a friend or anybody I care for, what's the root cause of hypothyroidism or let's say Hashimoto's thyroiditis, okay? Well, according to ancient Asian medicine, and ancient Ayurveda in every form, all of them, it's essentially a adrenal deficiency where your adrenal glands are worn out, and it's actually a gut issue. Isn't that crazy? So if somebody has a thyroid issue, what they think of as a thyroid issue, it actually stems in your hormonal system with the adrenals and your gut. So we have to heal those two issues. So the ancient remedies for beating Hashimoto's thyroiditis is you've got to heal that gut lining. So you're going to do probiotics. You're going to consume foods easy to digest like pumpkin and bone broth and some other things. And then we got to consume herbs and things to help heal the gut lining. So ginger would be part of that regimen. Astragalus is actually probably the most powerful herb for supporting the combination of the adrenals and gut. And then for the gut or for the adrenal specifically, we might prescribe something like ashwagandha. And then there's even some emotional things. So we know that what wears out the adrenals, it's the emotion of fear. And it could be fear of failure, fear of disappointing others. So I'm also going to consult somebody on, hey, here's some things you can do to heal emotionally to overcome these negative emotions. And then I'm going to lay it out in a very specific protocol, because like when my mom had cancer, Dr. Will, my mom was like a deer in the headlights. Like there were, you know, some of the other medical practitioners, they strike so much fear into people that they're kind of like, I don't know what to do. You just tell me what to do. Okay. You tell me to do chemo. That's what I'm going to do. Versus like, I look at my mom and I wrote down, mom, here's what I want you to eat for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. Here are the exact supplements I want you to take. Here's the dosage. Also, I want you to read this and do this. And so I just helped my mom sort of plan out the exact things. So there was no guesswork, but at that same time, treating the root cause, making sure to heal the thyroid, we got to heal the adrenals in the gut first, and then boom. And then you and I have both seen this. The amount of people we've both seen that have seen reversals in autoimmune disease, in hypothyroidism, in chronic pain, in type 2 diabetes, it's in the hundreds. And so All that being said, that's really, you know, a big part of what I help people do in the book is actually find the root cause of their disease and help them heal using, you know, these foods and herbs as medicine.
Definitely. And we talked about this on the phone the other week, but I think this conversation of traditional Chinese medicine or TCM, it's one that's not a conversation that hasn't been had in modern culture in a big way. And I really see this book as being a really great introduction for a whole population of the world right now that is very divorced of this ancient medicine. Is that something that you had thought of? Was like, I really want to educate people about this specifically, or what was the thought behind that?
Yeah, because you know, both you and I, Dr. Will, we have spent a good period of time reading and studying a lot of medical journals. You and I have both studied TCM and Ayurveda and Greek medicine and biblical medicine and modern, you know, so we've read a lot of this. What I found is this ancient Asian medicine was the deepest. It had the most efficacy. It had the most individual case studies. In fact, I would say ancient Chinese and Asian medicine has millions of individual case studies that prove what it does over time. And it's not biased because of a pharmaceutical company. So they really get into the depth of this. And this is really when I had people who maybe, you know, sometimes I remember early in my career, I'd have people and I would treat them and they might get 50 or 80% better. But that last 20% or that last 50% was really hard. That's where I found this really comes in. It's really when you get to the root cause, this is when somebody finally sees that breakthrough. They lose that last 10 pounds. They finally are able to get off that medication completely. They're then diagnosed with being completely free of autoimmune disease. That's what happens when people actually get to the root cause. And also, and so for me, this was something I was so passionate about. The problem was all the books I'd read on the topic and all of the gurus I talked to from around the world, they had made it really like the language was very complicated. It almost wasn't translated into our English language. Say, for instance, in Chinese medicine, they use the word qi and yin and yang. Now, when I first heard those words, I thought that sounds kind of weird, like maybe a little bit out there. And I just realized it's just a different language. What yang is a lot of our, what are known as more masculine hormones like testosterone. Yin is more of the balance between something like estrogen and progesterone. And qi is essentially, it's your adrenal energy. It's your, imagine your body is a battery and you know, your phone battery could be at 80% or 50% or 20%. You want to build that battery up because that battery actually feeds and nourishes all of your organ systems. Mm-hmm. And so that's what qi is. And essentially we call it ATP today, which is how your body produces and creates energy, but it's your adrenal energy. And so in the book, I just really simplify it and make it simple for people to understand how they actually can heal, what they need to do. But again, like for me, this is what saved my mom's life. Mm-hmm. This is what helped save the lives and transform the lives of people I've cared for over the years. It's what transformed my own health. In fact, I had leaky gut my first 2 years of practice because I was working so much. And I didn't realize, I thought, hey, I was eating really healthy, lots of salads, lots of greens, lots of veggie juices. And I realized I started studying this ancient form of medicine. And I started saying, you know what, I'm going to switch to eating bone broth and doing, you know, again, I've referenced pumpkin and butternut squash and some of these other foods. And then I also stopped working as much and started building peace. Boom, gut completely healed following these ancient Asian, you know, medicine principles. And I think in the book, it comes across, we cover the deep medical studies, but I think they're the easiest, they're very easy to understand, you know, how to get to the root cause in this book.
Yeah, it really is. It's accessible, but still very deep. And I think going to illuminate things that people didn't think about, or even the diagnostic side of things, like the way that traditional Chinese medicine looks at the body is fascinating and something that you really go into deep dive on this. And I really would like if we could talk about it a little bit, this five organ systems and what that means, how they saw the body. We're talking about thousands of years ago and how really in many ways research is catching up with that antiquity. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so in Chinese medicine, you have essentially 10 factors that really affect your health. And that's not that many if you think about it, there's 10. And then you have something called the five elements. Let me talk about the 10 factors and then the five elements. The 10 factors are looking at bringing your body back into balance. And so for instance, internally, your body has a certain environment that actually creates disease. Okay, so disease is not just based off of genetics or this random thing that happened. There's an internal environment that actually creates disease. So internally, your body can be too hot or too cold. So hot would be known as really more inflammation, but your body's too hot or too cold, can be too damp or too dry, can have too much movement called wind or too little movement called stagnation where things aren't moving. And then you have qi, which is your body's adrenal energy. You have yin and yang, which is more feminine, female hormone. So it's hormone balance. And then you have blood. So having healthy, nourished blood, those are the 10 factors that they look at to see how healthy you are. Now, I'd ask people this, why do we call it a cold today? The common cold. That comes from ancient Chinese medicine. Most of the time when you have a cold, your body is cold internally. So what are all the remedies for healing a cold? There are things that are warming. I'll give you an example of this. You're going to love this. I had a patient come in. This is my first year or two of practice. And he came in and I was treating him and I said, hey, what are you eating right now? Because I'm going to recommend you do some stuff different. He said, well, I'm eating this and this, which was all bad stuff. And I said, and he said, oh, also I'm drinking a lot of hot toddies. And I was like, and I'm not from Nashville. You know, I'm from Ohio, not far where you're from in Pennsylvania. And I'm like, what's a hot toddy? And he goes, well, you know, I do like my grandmother gave me this. It was whiskey and honey and cinnamon. And I put a pinch of cayenne in there. And I was like, okay, well, whiskey is actually the hottest of all liqueurs, so it warms the body up. So it's not like beer, which is actually cooling. So it's not the worst of things. It's still not what I recommend, but it's better than some things.
Yeah.
So all that being said, but the ancient Chinese remedy for overcoming a cold and flu, which is what my mom gave me, is chicken vegetable soup and ginger herbal tea. Now, unfortunately, my mom replaced ginger tea with ginger ale, which had like 40 grams of high fructose corn syrup. And then if they didn't have that, she had 7-Up. And I'm like, okay.
Same here. My grandma would drop off a 6-pack of ginger ale when we were sick. Yeah. But
So I'm like, you know, like, so I actually stayed sick longer because of what she gave me, you know? And like the chicken soup was like white flour noodles and MSG and sodium. Yeah. Anyways, their intentions were good. Their love kept us alive.
Yeah, that's right.
That being said, the ancient remedy to overcome a cold or flu in Chinese medicine is chicken broth soup and ginger herbal tea. And I'll mention this too. Certain colors of food dictate which organ systems they strengthen. So foods that strengthen the immune system are light yellow in color. So think about it. What color is chicken broth? It's yellow. What color is ginger? It's yellow. What color is garlic? It's yellow. What color is miso soup? It's yellow. These are all immune boosting and supportive foods. You know, so anyways, that being said, but you know, or think about dampness. Like I remember Nashville, this is about 10 years ago, we had flooding here. And afterwards I had all these patients coming in who had mold toxicity. I know you've seen patients with mold toxicity and helped them with that. But it was because they had flooding, they got dampness in their basement, and then it created an environment where mold could grow, okay?
Yeah.
There wasn't the environment. Now that there's an environment, because if you kept a lot of light in there and airflow and got it dry, mold would not grow. The same with your body. Think about candida that way. In Chinese medicine, they call it dampness, but forms of dampness in Chinese medicine could be yeast overgrowth on your tongue, Also, in an issue like Crohn's or colitis, it could be mucus in your colon or mucus in yeast buildup in like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Those are all forms of dampness in Chinese medicine. And so what heals dampness or cures dampness? Things that are drying. What are drying? Bitter herbs, bitter foods. So in Chinese medicine, if somebody came in with SIBO or Crohn's or colitis or candida, they would prescribe a diet full of bitter herbs and foods that actually pull that mucus. And same thing, cold or flu, like snot, that's a form of dampness, but to pull those things out of the body. So all of the remedies to overcome a cold are bitter and warming, okay? Bitter things, like if you've ever tasted echinacea or, you know, andrographis or any of these foods that help you combat a cold, they're super bitter. They do super not bitter. Taste good.
No.
So anyways, that's how they look at the body, is saying, we just gotta, hey, it's not that you have, like hypothyroidism is, it's a qi and yang deficiency. So how do you heal that? Well, number one, you prescribe the herb used in Ayurveda to boost qi and yang, and it actually happens to be ashwagandha. But all that being said, there are simple herbs and foods that actually treat the root cause, heal that issue. Now, in terms of the five elements were looked at as, and this is so profound because I know you and I, when we look at this, we're like, this is 100% accurate. It is so perfectly on. Mm-hmm. It was essentially the first personality profile / nutritional profile where they would look at you and they would find, okay, like today we have Enneagram or Myers-Briggs test or DISC profile, but you take a personality profile test. Mm-hmm. Well, your personality actually dictates which organs are affected based on your emotions. And so, for instance, if you're a person, and you can tell by looking at a lot of people, like I'm a wood element in Chinese medicine. And by the way, sometimes we hear things, and I think this creates some people, they don't feel like it's as accurate or as credible as our medical system today, because in China, you know, or in the ancient world, they would say, well, you're a wood element or you're an earth element or you're a fire element. But the truth is, it is far more accurate than our current medical system today. So in diagnosis, like a wood element, like emotionally, when I come into conflict, I deal with it with typically, if I have a negative emotions, it's with frustration, impatience, and if I get super out of balance, anger. That's how I come into conflict. Somebody else, though, might deal with it with worry. Someone else might have fear. Someone else might get depressed about it. So there are five elements in Chinese medicine. It's wood, fire, earth, metal, water. And you can tell somebody based on their physical features. And so when I look at somebody, almost immediately I know, oh, you're an earth element, you're a what? But like I'm a wood element, so that means I'm more lanky, you can see my veins, I've got longer features, that sort of thing. An earth element is more round, they hold on to weight more easily, but their personalities tend to be very like, hey, joyful and happy. Think about like if they were a dog, they'd be a golden retriever, you know? So like if for me, because I deal with the emotion of frustration and patience, or if I get really unbalanced anger, the organ system that's most susceptible in me to being diseased is my liver and gallbladder, okay? The emotion of anger, frustration, and patience causes disease of liver and gallbladder. If somebody has, but think about how true this is. Why do we call someone an angry drunk? Because drinking alcohol causes liver toxicity, but also the emotion of anger causes liver and gallbladder disease.
Yeah.
Why does a child, if they have a nightmare, so they have fear, why do they wet the bed? Because the emotion of fear causes dysfunction of the kidneys, the adrenals, and the reproductive organs. I used to have a female that I studied with in college, and she would always get an upset stomach before our big exams. But we all know that, right? If somebody worries a lot, it causes upper GI issues. It causes them to have stomach cramping. Why? Because the emotion of worry causes dysfunction of your stomach, your pancreas, and your upper GI. The emotion of grief or depression or a sense of loss, like if somebody goes through an emotional trauma typically, or maybe goes through a divorce or loses a loved one, there's a sense of loss there, that causes immune system issues with the lungs and colon. So autoimmune disease is a big factor there in weak immunity, immunodeficiency. And then if somebody has a lot of anxiety is related to the heart, right? We know blood pressure rises, right? Mm-hmm. And then headaches and things like that. And then the last one is water element, which those personality types tend to be a little bit more like, let's go with the flow, you know? Mm-hmm. But they tend to deal with fear. And when I say fear, it's more like fear of disappointing others. They worry about what other people think of them or comparing themselves to other people or fear of failure, you know, or fear, you know, so And that affects your, again, I mentioned fear earlier, that's water element, but the reproductive organs. But that's why people get conditions. It's not because of genetics. It's not because of, it's because you experience different emotions and those emotions affect your organ system. So what they did in ancient Asian medicine is they found the diet that was best for these people. And you and I both agree with this. There's not one perfect diet for everybody. In fact, like for you and I, some people do amazing on keto. It actually tends to be fire elements, okay, in Chinese medicine. Like it's the perfect diet for them. But some other elements don't do good with keto. Some people can get away with being vegan, but most people can't. So here's the whole thing. Like everybody listening to this right now, you are a unique individual. You are designed. You are special. So know this, like if you followed a diet and it worked for your best friend, but you tried it and it did not work for you, it's because that diet is not meant for you. So in Chinese medicine, in my book, I really go through, here is the diet that is best based on the conditions you're having and the way you're uniquely wired. So we have a quiz in there. It's called Eat Right for Your Ancient Element. But you go in there and you discover which element you are. And we have a whole personality profile, but also a whole eating plan and supplement plan based on your element. So I know I just said a lot there.
No, I love
it. That's essentially a lot of it.
That's what I wanted for people to hear about it, because that's one of my favorite sections of the book, to find out. You can find out through reading the book, like what element you are. And then there is this meal plan that's for you based on these principles. And I still have to take the quiz. I don't really know what element I am, but I will stay tuned. I will find out for sure. Because I'm learning so much from you on the traditional Chinese medicine in depth. Side note, you mentioned Enneagram. What Enneagram are you? Do you know what Enneagram you are?
I'm an 8-7.
Okay, I'm a 5-wing-6. For people that don't know about Enneagram.
Wow. So 5-wing-6 is awesome. By the way, Chelsea and I, some of our best friends, she's a 6-5 maybe, but anyways, so you're the researcher. Man, I love that. Yeah. And then you're trustworthy, you know, and I can tell that just from, you know, being friends with you. You're the sort of person like I can confide in. I trust a lot. Like I know, that's why I mentioned earlier, like I'd send a family member to see you as a patient. Thanks. Because I trust you. And also, you do a lot of research. You make sure, and that's why you're a great doctor. So that makes,
Thanks, man.
Makes a lot of sense.
So wait, what are you again? Just say it again.
I'm an 8-7.
See, I don't know about it as much. I really am still learning. So what's an 8-7 for people that don't know?
So 8-7s, eights are known for being very transparent and unfiltered. Like eights tend to just say what's on their mind, say what it is. Like we're not, you know, we're never going to put on a facade or be fake. It's going to be very like what you see is what you get. And seven is very much like an influencer, like somebody's like trying to, you know, so.
Got it. Enneagram for people that want to know about this, but yeah, it's a personality type. So I want to talk about part 3 of the book, which has the 5 organ systems section, but the other part of it, which you've touched on that I really want to talk about because it is super helpful. It is this manual, this almost encyclopedia, but very accessible of over 70 different conditions that you mentioned in passing, but it's in alphabetical order. I think it's very helpful because you go A through Z and talk about if you have this problem, here are things to lean into. So the people aren't overwhelmed. If they're struggling with certain things, they could just go to what their primary issues are. Can you talk about that section of the book?
Yeah. And maybe what we can do, because I'm curious, maybe you go through, I'd love to hear like your audience will, like what are the, and I think I know, but what are some of the biggest conditions they struggle with? And I can tell you exactly the root cause and how we heal it in Chinese medicine. But this is both a combination of book that really gets into the root cause of disease, how to use food as medicine. And then in the back, we have over 70 prescriptions. We also have 80 recipes for healing, but we have 70 prescriptions, actually about 75, I think, that go through the exact protocol for healing everything from ADHD to cancer, to psoriasis, to others. And I'm not saying it's the best protocol. I shouldn't say, well, anyway, so all that being said, well, I'll give you an example too. Like, so our daughter, Chelsea and I have a 6.5-month-old and she's eating really clean, but she still ended up getting a little bit of cradle cap. And we also have some friends who their daughter got eczema. And so in ancient China, so like in the book I go through, here's the exact diet to heal it, which she's breastfeeding right now. But also like, what do you do topically for that? For like, if you have a child that has eczema, that's so many people have trouble with that. Well, there is a ancient recipe of, it's a mixture of manuka honey or some form of honey, coconut oil, aloe vera gel, and essential oils. And so here's the thing about eczema. And in most skin conditions, it's caused by damp heat, Okay. So you need to eliminate damp heat on the skin. So in eliminating heat, aloe is super cooling to the skin. Think about a sunburn. So that's why aloe is in there, is that's going to help eliminate that heat. And then dampness, Manuka honey is antimicrobial and it helps balance out pH as well. So honey is super, super healing for the skin. And then coconut oil, you want to moisturize, but you don't want to create dampness. So coconut oil is also antimicrobial. And then we also have some oils in there, calendula, lavender, that are in tea tree oil. And those sort of oils are both calming to the skin, but also healing. And so anyways, or let's say a condition like I mentioned hypothyroidism earlier. Let me give that example. Mm-hmm. So in Chinese medicine, that's known as a qi deficiency and a yang deficiency. And so we go through the emotional root of that, which tends to be this. The biggest emotional cause of this is one, fear of disappointing others. You're trying to always please other people and you don't want to let them down. And also giving too much of yourself. And that's why a lot of moms end up getting hypothyroidism. They don't want to disappoint other people. They want to be the perfect mom. So they have that fear. And then they give and they give and they give. And that's all earth elements. So when somebody has hypothyroidism, it's related to the kidneys and the upper digestive system, okay? And so we got to strengthen those two areas. How do we do that? Well, one, emotionally, right? You start setting aside time for yourself. You start realizing that you're not created to, you know, just fulfill other people's needs. Mm-hmm. You're created to enjoy life and create community and all these things. So, and then from a diet standpoint, we need to strengthen the adrenals. Foods that strengthen the adrenals tend to be dark blue and purple. So like blueberries, goji berries, are very nourishing to those adrenal glands. Seaweed is super nourishing. Wild caught fish like salmon, those are super nourishing to the adrenal glands. And green leafy vegetables. And then foods that nourish the upper GI are gonna be foods that are orange in color. So it's pumpkin, it's butternut squash, it's steamed carrots, it's actually even grass-fed beef to a degree. And so we create the exact meal plan in there in that protocol. And then the herb that strengthens the adrenals, ashwagandha is going to be very high on that list, and something like reishi mushroom. And then what's going to strengthen the upper GI? It's astragalus. It's SBO probiotics specifically because they're transient. They help clean out that, you know, some of that yeast and bacteria that can overgrow in the stomach. And then we also go through the essential oils that are necessary. But that's a lot of what that looks like. Yeah. It's really saying, what's the root cause there? Here's the exact foods, the exact herbals and supplements. And also, here are the lifestyles and the emotional root that you can start to heal to overcome mm-hmm. a condition. But again, we go through this with a lot of conditions. And if you yeah. want to hit on one or two more, we can, or else.
I do. I'm scrolling through it right yeah. now as we're talking. A lot of my patients have autoimmunity, but specifically autoimmunity that impact the hormones. Hashimoto's, as you mentioned, it's the most common. But another one is endometriosis, which isn't really talked enough about. And I think a lot of people are struggling with it and don't have answers. And your book talks about that, where you go over these ancient prescriptions, these ancient protocols, and understanding it from an ancient perspective. Can you go over endometriosis? And maybe explain it for people who don't know what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're looking at endometriosis, the big thing there, and again, I'm gonna hit on it in both, you know, Western medicine and then also in Chinese medicine. So when we're talking about endometriosis, it tends to be caused by inflammation of the lining of the uterus. Okay, so there's a lot of inflammation that happens in the lining of the uterus, and that causes pelvic pain. Actually, it's a big cause of infertility today as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The TCM, or the ancient root cause of this, is known as qi stagnation and blood stasis. So actually what's happening is you're not getting enough blood and nutrients to those tissues of the body. So literally they start to build up disease because they're not getting collagen, they're not getting nutrients, they're not getting red blood cells, they're not actually being nourished. So they literally start to die, build up scar tissue. Imagine this. Imagine if you had some inflammation of your knee, you put it in, and then you never moved it. Scar tissue builds up. Like athletes today, if an athlete tears their ACL, like a ligament in their knee, the next day, or at the minimum 3 days later, they're already doing rehab and full strengthening, right? To limit scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, imagine if you don't have blood flow and nourishment to an area, it builds up scar tissue. That's what starts to happen. So that's the root cause of what we're looking at here. as we're talking about endometriosis. And so what we really need to do is build your blood. This is so critical for endometriosis. And the crazy thing, Will, is so many people don't know this, which I'm going to talk about the remedies in a minute, but let me talk about, so you want to build your blood and then move your blood. And this is actually a little bit different. So certain foods that help strengthen the blood are going to be foods that are orange that I mentioned, carrots, pumpkin, squash are going to be very, very good for the blood. Green leafy vegetables, grass-fed beef, wild-caught salmon. And then you also want to move the blood. Okay, you got to move it. So foods that move the blood are going to be foods that move the liver. So you're going to get some sour foods. So like sauerkraut, actually beets are another one. Beets help boost nitric oxide. So those are going to help move blood throughout your system and build blood. So beets are kind of like the number one food for endometriosis would be beets. And then things like green tea, ginger, rosemary, these really help. And you got to stay away from the refined carbohydrates, anything that congests the liver, because the liver moves blood. And we don't tend to think about the liver doing that, but the liver actually does a lot. The liver like detoxifies estrogen from the body. So it's even important for hormone balancing, all kinds of stuff, but it also deals with filtering your blood and moving it. So anyways, all that being said, that's why, I mean, beets and artichokes are very, very good for this, but you got to stay away from the refined grains. And the biggest one is the hydrogenated oils. If you're eating fast foods, if you're eating anything with a lot of the omega-6s, even sunflower and safflower oil and canola oil, those are going to congest the liver. So you got to stay away from those. And then there's an herb in ancient Chinese medicine known as Dong Quai. And Dong Quai is known as female ginseng, and it builds the blood by far better than any other herb on the planet. In fact, when you taste it, it actually tastes like iron. And so it actually has iron in it, some. But so it's going to really build the blood. And then there's another herb called Vitex chasteberry, which that does a little less with the blood, but it really supports more the uterus itself. So it's going to tonify that area or strengthen that area, supporting healing. And then you have another one called Romania. It's another herb along with Vitex that's going to strengthen that. And then turmeric. Turmeric actually nourishes the blood. So it doesn't move it, but it nourishes the blood probably more than any herb out there. And then Bupleurum also helps move qi throughout the body. So I go through those five herbs there in that protocol. But the big thing is the root cause of endometriosis is a blood issue. It's your blood is undernourished and it's not moving. How do you nourish it? It's beets, it's grass-fed beef, it's pumpkin, it's those foods. And then you got to also build it with Dong Quai, and then you got to nourish it with things like, you know, turmeric, but those things would definitely help.
And you have other remedies as well. You mentioned acupuncture and these things that go complementary with it. As you mentioned, like dealing with past traumas or dealing with the stress, emotional, mental, because that is part of it too, you know, and it's, you have all of these protocols for each of these conditions, which I don't know any resource today that has it this clear cut, this accessible as well.
Yeah. So even with something like that, so think about this. Okay. If you have an issue where things aren't moving in your body, blood specifically, like that tends to be related to the liver. And that means you're probably holding on to something from your past. Things aren't moving, or maybe emotionally you feel stuck, like you've stuck, or maybe you had a dream or vision. It didn't come to pass. So you're kind of sitting there and you feel like, man, I'm not going anywhere. So yeah, taking care of these, the emotional roots of things is a big deal too.
So true. I could talk to you. I could go through this entire 70 list and we could talk about each one because it's so fascinating to me. But people have to check out the book for that. Before we go, my friend, the show is called The Art of Being Well, and you are such an expert in this space. In your experience, what is one piece of wisdom that you have learned to be really a secret to the art of being well?
You know, for me, my biggest secret to being well is not a dietary. I'll mention that as my number two. But my number one is doing a spiritual triathlon every morning. So, you know, I wake up every morning and I do three things. I spend time in gratefulness and praise. I spend time reading something like a personal growth book or my Bible or something for spiritual growth. And then I spend another 5 minutes in sort of prayer or meditation. Like I do that for at least 15 minutes every morning, but most mornings it's more like 30 minutes or an hour. And I'll tell you what that does for my entire day is so big. I think most people, what they're filling their mind with on a regular basis, it's social media, it's the news. The news is all about fear. It's what is the worst possible scenario, worst outcome. It's all negative versus if I wake up and rather than jumping on social media or the news or whatever, and social media is like a lot of people comparing themselves to other people, or a lot of times it's feeling bad, not all of it, but some of it. So all that being said, like spending the first 5 minutes just saying, God, I am so grateful for my relationship with you. I'm so grateful for my amazing life, like my wife, my daughter, like I'm just so grateful. Like I'll go back and think about, like, I'm grateful for good parents. Like I'm grateful for having a situation in my life that worked out for good, that seemed negative at the time. So all that being said, like I just get grateful. And then the next thing I do again is I read something, and my goal is not to read as much as possible. It's to read something and then chew it. So that word meditation is not clear and think about nothing. It tends to be like, I'll read like, you know, in Corinthians from the Bible where it talks about love, love is patient, love is kind, you know, like I'll start meditating on that and how I can apply that to my life, right? You know, like that sort of thing. So I do that every single morning. And I'll tell you what, like, and I shouldn't say every morning, I do it 5 days a week, at least sometimes seven, but days I don't do it, I literally can tell. I might, my fuse might be a little shorter, or maybe I'm not as, you know, I'm not thinking about just serving other people. So like, that's number one, because I'll say this, and you and I both, I think you and I have talked about this before, like our emotional health makes just as big of an impact or a bigger impact on our physical health than what we eat. So just making sure you're walking in the spirit of joy and hope, like, hey, you know, like when something doesn't go your way, not thinking, oh, this is the worst thing ever, thinking, you know what? Hey, that's okay. Like in thinking about how you're going to turn it around. So all that being said, that's number one. And number two, the next thing I do after starting off with my spiritual triathlon is I do a superfood smoothie, or I just eat something really healthy for breakfast. And so I will do like this is one of the recipes I have in the book. This is the perfect recipe for healing dampness or candida or autoimmune disease or digestive issues. Pumpkin, this might surprise some people, is probably the most easily digestible form of fiber. It's very low in sugar, but high in fiber and super high in beta carotene. It has some zinc. It's got some really incredible nutrients. So I do like a pumpkin smoothie where I do like a third a can of pumpkin. I put in some coconut milk, some vanilla bone broth protein powder, vanilla collagen, and then like a little bit of spices like cinnamon, ginger. And I do that, and man, I feel great. And sometimes I do a blueberry smoothie or something like that. But like I start my morning every morning with my spiritual triathlon and the superfood smoothie. And dude, I just feel great the rest of the day, you know? And so I just think if people can do that, man, it'll change their, not just their day, but their life.
That's so good. It's so good. It's so practical for people. Anybody can lean into this stuff. So you heard it first, guys. Spiritual triathlon, superfood smoothie. Good stuff. Man, I am so thankful for you. I hope that you know this. The if I'm ever flailing and have existential problems in my life, you're who I call. And you always speak truth in my life. And I'm so appreciative of that.
Well, thanks, Dr. Will. Well, I love you, man. And you've been a good friend here for years. I'm just grateful for you having me on. And I do want to mention this. So again, I guarantee if you guys read the book, I think you're going to love it. I think it's going, and listen, you can both read it, but it's also that reference manual. So
yeah.
Hey, if you do have a cold, we have the exact protocol in there. If your kids have a problem, you have the protocol in there. All of that's in there. And you can buy it at bookstores nationwide. It's at Barnes & Noble. You can go to just amazon.com and just search Dr. Axe Ancient Remedies. But check out the book. You know, Dr. Oz wrote the review and, you know, thought a lot of it. A lot of people have. But I'm proud of it. I think, again, it just has saved and transformed the life of my family and patients in the past. But again, I'm excited for everybody to check it out. I want to say, Will, again, man, thanks for having me on, man. I love talking with you. Excited to have, you know, I know you've been on my podcast several times. And hey, guys, listen to that. You know, come listen to Dr. Will's podcast.
That's right.
And you had some brilliant things to say last time you were on. So, you know, thanks for having me on.
Of course. Anytime. Love this guy, Dr. Josh Axe. If you want to learn more about Dr. Josh Axe, go to draxe.com. That's draxe.com. And check out this book, guys. Ancient Remedies, Secrets to Healing with Herbs, Essential Oils, CBD, and the Most Powerful Natural Medicine in History. At the end of every episode, I'll be answering a question from one of you guys. Nothing is off limits. Ask me anything. And you can send your questions over to me on Instagram or Facebook.
As a functional medicine practitioner, it's been fun seeing the questions that have already come in on different food philosophies, wellness trends, and ways to approach overall mental, emotional, and physical health and well-being. Thanks for those. And I'm looking forward to seeing what else is on your mind. Okay, now it's time for another Ask Me Anything. Today's question is from Alex. Hi, Dr. Cole. I heard that intermittent fasting isn't good for women. Is that true? Great question, Alex. There's a lot of conflicting information online, right? I mean, we can substantiate our own agenda with a click of a button on Dr. Google. We can substantiate our worst fears with a click of a button with Dr. Google. So what's the reality? Just as a reminder, my background is I get to talk to people, all different types of people, all day long. So I've seen just about every variable when it comes to different walks of life, different people, different diets of how they eat whenever they come to me, different labs, so many variables. So I have a lot of experience when it comes to this. And as with anything, I think context matters when it comes to fasting, just like with exercise or ways of eating or different protocols when it comes to health and wellness, context matters. And I know this may be earth-shatteringly new for some people to think about, but not all women are the same. So it is very reductionist for us to oversimplify and make broad sweeping statements about women and should not do fasting, or fasting is great for everybody. It's like, okay, how are we fasting? What woman are we talking about? There's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it specific to different types of people. And that's going to vary from person to person. So for example, is she going through PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome? Is she going through endometriosis or adenomyosis, different autoimmune hormonal problems? Is she going through different chronic inflammatory issues, chronic inflammatory GI issues, digestive problems? Is she going through metabolic issues or weight loss resistance? She's going to respond to different types of intermittent fasting, different than, let's give the example of this woman is lean and she is on the thinner side and she maybe is going through a stressful time in her life and she's not sleeping well. That's going to be a completely different outcome. They're both women. So it really depends on the person you're talking about, and it depends on what type of fast you're talking about as well. It's like going to the gym and working out really hard your first day and you've never worked out a day in your life and you felt really bad afterwards. You're like, very bad. Does that mean working out isn't good for you? Does that mean going to the gym's just not for you? It's no, you probably did too much too soon in a way that you didn't meet your body where it's at. That's the same with fasting. And fasting and working out are both types of hormesis. They have a hormetic effect, actually, working out and fasting, because that's actually a good stress that makes your body more resilient. But just like working out too aggressively, fasting too aggressively for your body type and where you're at on your health journey, that depends. You have to work with your body, meet your body where you're at. And yes, it's true, women are higher in a signaling molecule called kisspeptin, which tends to make most women more sensitive to fasting and caloric restriction and even the ketogenic diet. But remember, true intermittent fasting is not about chronic caloric restriction. It's just about specific windows of when you're eating, specific to time-restricted feeding, which is a type of intermittent fasting. So there's many other types of intermittent fasting beyond that. But the reality is true intermittent fasting is not about chronic caloric restriction. People get that conflated quite often. And it doesn't mean that women that are more sensitive to fasting can't leverage the benefits of fasting without falling prey to these potential pitfalls of doing too much fasting for your body. That's why I advocate most women to do a cyclical fast, and more specifically, a cyclical time-restricted feeding where they have vacillating, ebbing and flowing, flexible intermittent fasting windows throughout the day. That's quite gentle, and they can plan that around their cycle if they have a menstrual cycle. Everyone's cycle is different as well, but they would do lighter fasts around their period and around ovulation. That doesn't apply to every woman, but so she should experiment for herself. Be her own N of one experiment and don't let social media wellness experts pontificate. Let them be their own advocate for their bodies. So that's what I talk about at length in my new book, Intuitive Fasting, is for all of us, no matter who you are, to find a grace and a lightness when it comes to food, when it comes to fasting and when it comes to our body. Thanks for the question, Alex. That's it for today. Thanks again for hanging out with me. I would love to know what you think about the art of being well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit subscribe and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.